Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers, with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy Freeman and Mr. Newby. Before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week with Pip and Fallon creating rules so complex for this pudding competition it's making Contract Bridge look like Connect Four. The only option now for Fallon is to burn the tea rooms to the ground, leave the village and change her name. This fete is going to be full of children with spoons the size of tennis rackets, scooping whole bowls full of pavlova out in one go, dribbling in the puddings and giving everyone dicky tummies and having no idea what they've just eaten until it reappears 10 minutes after they've all been on the trampoline. Are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm just stretching. Hang on.
Sorry. What the hell are you doing? You doing Zumba?
Take this 5 minute opportunity to stretch my legs because I've just been for a run. And I was like, well, when Lucy's doing her monologue, I can just do my leg stretches. So I stood away from the mic. I'm still listening, Lucy, and laughing. But I turned my volume down a bit because I didn't want you to hear me go, ooh.
In case I wondered what the hell else you were doing.
Tight hamstring right there. So I didn't think you notice what you did. You can't see me and yet you can sense.
I can sense that there is a disturbance in the force, Harriet Carmichael. Right.
Okay, right, I'm still listening. I'm listening.
Okay.
Sorry, Lucy. I feel so bad. Okay, I've turned myself right up so you can hear me laughing.
Lovely. Thank you. Okay. Stella has a new dog called Hoover. He seems very nice, quiet, anyway. Mia gave Stella the lowdown on how miserable she's feeling about having to carry the Grundy family intellectual standard. She doesn't realise how low the bar actually is. If she could just go 12 months without getting anyone involved in some semi-legal activity or threatening anyone with a shotgun, then she'll be smashing the family mould. Then we all popped over to Chris's forensic accountants for a quick chat and a giggle. Aaron, he was called. Being a forensic accountant, he was wearing a white coat and waving a scalpel around, which actually sat with the mood quite well, as Chris and Brian had both adopted the "I know you are, but what am I?" school of negotiation. Chris accused Brian of hiding farmhouses, and Brian said he'd simply forgotten about them. And Brian said Chris had never been good enough to marry a raging alcoholic, so it was all very jolly. The only downer was Alice, who sat there going, "Chris, Dad! Chris, Dad!" My personal feeling was that if you are so well set up that you need your father with you to help you remember how much money you have, what you've got and where it is, then be prepared to lose a sizeable chunk of it and not moan, as you probably won't even notice. And then we whisked over to the tea rooms, where apparently the afternoon tea comes with a baguette. Eh? No, it doesn't. Afternoon tea comes with tincy-wincy sandwiches with the crusts cut off, and one of them is always tuna that everyone leaves, as no one wants cat breath for the rest of the afternoon. But someone eats the egg ones and you'll find out who in the car on the way home. There are scones wrapped in a white napkin, dinky pots of jam, double cream, clotted if you're lucky, and a Victoria sponge which makes you want to nap after you've eaten it. But no baguettes. It's an afternoon tea, not a pret. There was a bit of Colleen and Rebecca-style handbagging between Chelsea and Mia, who I must stop thinking about as a delicate waif of a thing, as she's clearly got vegan knuckle-dusters under that Thomas Hardy delivery. And the whole thing was very satisfactory, especially when Freddie suddenly remembered that he probably ought to be intervening in this unseemly catfight rather than leaning up against the microwave enjoying it all. Well, goodness me, who knew you could set up an entire catering van within a fortnight? I'd have thought getting the health and safety licences alone. Oh, what's the use? Why am I bothering? Of course Ian will be at the fete selling pizzas a fortnight after being fired and having spent that fortnight, by his own admission, sitting in the garden. Where's Xander going to be while Ian and Adam are slaving away over a hot hand-milled pizza stone, presumably playing with the chassis, or locked in one of those dog cages people bring to country fairs when the urge to bite people wearing pink trousers gets too much? And let's face it, we've all been there. Roy was photographed as the reassuring face of Gay Grables for the new website, which was surprising, as every time they ran out of bread at Gay Grables, Roy ran about screaming, and it's either Kirsty or Krusty that had to fix it and leave him rocking in the fetal position in the corner of reception. However, we are where we are, and in the absence of any other staff at all, Roy it is. Ardil was horrified to find that Roy's car had been graffitied. "This is awful, Roy," said Ardil. "Why does it say Roy is a massive racist?" "Never mind that," said Roy hurriedly. There was a great deal of patronising rubbish about Will deciding he wanted to edumacate himself with that there book learning, which was frankly toe-curling. And finally, the bit that had me bellowing at the radio like Otto the Bull, desperate to have another pop at Tony. "Everybody wants to spare Kate any upset because she gets so stressed and panicky." Oh, really? I am totally Team Chris on this. Kate is one of those people who goes around telling people her truth with impunity and prides herself on believing in honesty, no matter how much it hurts people's feelings, but yet remembers every single comment made to her that didn't reflect her own perception. Perfection, rather. She was vile to Amy, who, although annoying, didn't deserve that. She has attempted to manipulate her grandmother and her boyfriend for her own ends, was horrendously snobbish about the Horopins, has casually insulted pretty much everyone in the village, and has absolutely no friends. But she needs protecting because she is fragile. Fragile, my arse. Take over spiritual hummus, Chris, although I imagine it wouldn't even buy you a pint of milk for the mini fridge in the forge. And if Kate is not working in the chicken factory by the end of this year, I, for one, will be greatly disappointed. The end.
I listened to every word and now I'm sitting down.
Good. Well done.
But I don't feel elongated after all.
Don't you? You are now quite titchy though. It'd be a long, long time before you felt elongated.
I still feel a bit stiff. That was very good, Lucy. Well done.
Thank you very much, Harriet.
I was totally listening. But I was mostly thinking about Aaron and his jolly appearance on the show.
He was a funny one, Aaron, wasn't he? What do we have to say
about
Aaron?
He was a funny one.
He was a funny one.
He was a jolly forensic accountant, wasn't he?
He seemed remarkably unperturbed that there was people about to come to blows in his office. But as he said, happens all the time.
I just love the fact that he sat back, put his legs up on the table and sort of sniggered along. Yeah. Oh, this is great, this is.
Well, there was a lot of that. There was Freddie just watching, you know, Chelsea and Mia dumping pots of trifle over each other's heads. While Will just sat there going,
That was so weird.
Mia!
It was so weird that there was a full-on row going on. And you're right, no one intervened good 7 minutes.
No. No one even said, "What the hell do you think you're doing? Calm down or we're leaving. Or don't be rude. Or... anything anyone normal would say."
Will didn't even... You thought maybe he could have just sort of gone, even if his lines weren't written down for him. Just a reaction.
Yeah.
This is a slightly awkward...
Yeah.
You know, like that your waitress is being horrible to your daughter, whatever she is, stepdaughter.
Yes.
But it was a bit odd, wasn't it?
Yeah, very.
And then Freddie basically going, "Oh, don't worry, it's fine. Don't worry, you'll get the hang of it."
Yeah.
No, no, no. Come on.
No, starting a punch-up with the clientele is not, you know, it's not in the handbook. Not in the handbook.
And
definitely.
It's not good for Chelsea either.
No.
She can
just get away with it.
Freddie was fair and firm. Actually, I quite liked his firm. I thought he actually came into his own a bit when he...
Well, it was after she'd said to him, "You need to be a bit more," whatever it was, that he sort of, and then he was, but to her, which.
Yeah, but she basically needed a smack bottom
for
that behaviour.
Cheeky little madam.
And Freddie was the one to give it to her.
Yes.
Maybe not, he would have got fired. But, it was strange this week. Wasn't quite the same sort of, didn't have quite the same energy as the week before, I didn't think.
Well, I know why we liked the week before so much. It was a Warburton week.
Oh, we like a Warburton
week.
We
do like
a
Warburton week.
We like a Kerry or a Warburton week.
We do.
Well, it's because we don't know who all the other writers are. No, we like what I always think I like is the Corrie weeks, where you know, like they're Corrie in the corner shop weeks, where it's just bants and it's quite warm and funny and a bit over the top and hammy.
Yeah,
but it's good old sort of panto style humour.
Yes, and this was slightly spikier.
But it wasn't very spiky. That's the thing. It never actually got
grumpier,
but actually just very immature the whole time.
Yes.
There was just... Everyone was behaving immaturely.
Mm.
Like, you know, the spat between Chris and Bran, and you're right, Alex, what's her name? Alice was infuriating.
Yeah.
Her whininess, because you're like, well, hang on, just take a step back, young lady. You were the one that decided, when everyone said, don't get lawyers involved because it's going to get really ugly.
Yeah.
This is your decision. You should have listened to the mediators.
And Chris was dead right. If he'd known that Brian was going to be there, he should have had somebody there.
I was absolutely cheering Chris on.
Except, can you imagine, it would have been Susan or Neil, either of which. Neil would have just sat there going, and Susan would have gone, and another thing! She'd have had Alice by the hair, banging her head on the desk within about 2 seconds.
Do you like pigs, Erin?
He seems a nice chap to me.
Yeah, now pigs, that's something I can really comment on. My sister's a forensic accountant.
Oh, really?
My brother-in-law. Yeah, they have their own forensic accountant business.
Wow.
So, and so she does a lot of this sort of stuff. And actually, she also, poor thing, every time one of our friends is in the middle of a divorce or something, they're like, can you give me some advice? And then she's like, oh, fuck. So when people ask me to draw things, it's like, oh, God, don't even realise it takes a long time. Anyway, So I texted her, she didn't listen to the Archers, but I was like, oh, would you mind, on Monday, Tuesday, I was like, would you mind having listened to last night's episode? Because it involves a forensic accountant and it's about a divorce case. And I just wondered if this was sort of like true, was Erin sort of true to character? And she was like, I might have a listen, but as you know, I'm moving out of my house tomorrow into an Airbnb because we're about to have work. I'm in the middle of a school run and I'm having a baby in 5 days.
Oh, no!
So if I don't listen, that's why. And she didn't bother listening, Lucy.
The cow. Honestly, some people.
Talk about loyalty.
I know. No.
Anyway, so she's too busy to listen, but I might try and get her opinion on it. But I wondered what the point of having Erin in the scene was, really.
I know. They might as well have just met for a pint in the bar and had a punch up in the car park afterwards. That's what
I really
cut
I
out
love,
the middleman.
I actually really enjoyed him being there because I really liked his laid backness and his cheery disposition. But you did sort of think, what's the point of him?
Yeah, remarkably unconcerned. And then it turned out that everything he'd done was wrong anyway. He said, I'll have another look at that.
That's what I wanted to ask my sister. I wanted to say, is it likely that he wouldn't have already found out about Spiritual Home and this cottage? And he's a forensic accountant.
He's not an absent-minded one.
He's not like a part, you know, someone they just plucked off the street. Yeah. He should have looked into this forensically. And you know, surely it's not that hard to find out that Brian's got some random cottage.
And when he said, is that true, Brian? Yeah. I thought, well, goodness me, are you surprised that one of your clients may be hiding assets?
And Brian's like,
if this has come as a shock to you, you might need to rethink your career, to be honest. But anyway.
Erin, it's not true. Oh, okay. All right, I'll write that down.
Good, I was worried then. I thought I'd forgotten something.
I thought I hadn't been very forensic about things, actually, Brian. Oh, let me put my rubber gloves on again.
Snap, snap.
But it was a bit funny, but I hope he comes back. And then did you see the lovely actor who plays Erin tweeted his joy at being in the Archers? Infectious. It was so lovely. And I thought he had such a nice energy. I hope he becomes a character.
Maybe you'd like to consider taking over Gay Grables. How about that?
Yes. Wouldn't it be funny if he... it wouldn't really, would it? But he
might
get involved.
I think
in
if you were a forensic accountant and you got involved with Gay Grables, you'd go and throw yourself off Beachy Head.
but that's the thing about Ardil, isn't it? You get the impression he might be wrapped up in a few dodgy dealings. I can't work him out, though, Lucy.
No.
Because he's got that sinister, manipulative, horrible side. You know, like, and sort of taking advantage of thick Roy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, somebody hasn't checked their emails today. And I'm half what you were earning last year. Oh, all right then. Okay, I accept
Kathy said
it
was loads.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's not loads because that was Kathy and you're an idiot.
Yeah.
So it's
and Roy
£4.90 an hour.
Roy just literally rolled over and became his bitch
all right,
in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I'll do whatever you want. Yeah, spread eagled on the bed. Okay. With my clothes off. Okay. Like this, Benji. Did you guess who Benji was?
Yes.
That's my favourite game of the Archers, when they have a tiny yeah. character that's one of the other cast.
Yeah.
And guess the cast member. That should be a feature on this podcast. But unfortunately, they don't do it often enough. I wish...
Let's play Doubling Up.
What accent is this actor going to use to differentiate them
to cunningly disguise
from a posh boy? No, I liked it. I like Benji. He can come back. Him and Aaron were a breath of fresh air this week, Lucy. But Ardil is so smarmy. But then I can't work out if Ardil is smarmy all the time, or like when Roy was like, everybody hates me, they're my best friends. If Ardil was the professional guy he seems to be, wouldn't he be like, Roy, you need to go home and have a think about, you know, like, grow up. Oh my God, you decided to take this job. It took you 10 seconds to decide. You didn't read your contract properly. Have a good look at yourself and stop being so stupid, and or just take it on the chin. This will blow over. And they, like, come on, mate, this is a job. You needed a job. Anyway, yeah. I don't know. There was something a bit annoying about Roy crying on Ardil's shoulder and Ardil being like, there, young man. But I didn't know if that was genuine from Ardil or if that was still his sort of manipulative.
You can only judge people, can't you, by when you've seen them with their subordinates and their superiors. So when we see Ardil in contact with whoever has actually bought the damn hotel, and is it not time that they told us? Then we'll be able to see what he's really like. Because at the moment, all the conversations we're having with him, we're hearing from him, are with him putting on the act. We don't know whether that's an act yet because we haven't seen, it's all been one note.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is he trying to be nice? But do you watch Call My Agent?
Yes.
And I'm on the second series, and when Ashim becomes the new boss, Andrea's friend, he's a sort of like a smarmy, hugely successful businessman who knows nothing about the industry. And that's the thing, and he comes in and then expects everyone to do his bidding, doesn't he? And it would just really reminded me of Ardil.
Yeah.
But except for the fact that Ashim is super sinister and cold and like a psychopath, but so perfectly played.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, I don't know, there's something about Ardil that doesn't ring true, but maybe that's all part of the journey.
Well, we just need to see him with more people, don't we? We need to see him out of Gay Grables. We need to see him with a private life. We need to see him with...
Or maybe just losing his shit, because it's all very sort of one-note
controlled
at the moment.
Yes.
And it's all in this tone, isn't it? And I feel like we need to see another, more truthful side of him.
Yeah, it's all very sanitised.
Oh, Roy, this is terrible. Your car. Why do you drive around in that shitty old Honda? No, Ardil, the graffiti. Oh, yes, we've all been there. Oh, my God. Sorry.
What's the matter?
Rufus just kindly gave me a cup of coffee, but I was... Woo! I wasn't expecting it. It gave me a real shock. He opened the door and I hadn't even noticed it open, and then he was just hovering there with a cup of coffee, and I turned round. And I was like, oh, dear. Sorry. Shouldn't have been shocking. It's just... This is my husband.
Oh, he does live there, does he?
I'm not in a complicated relationship. I love him dearly.
A dead man's just fallen out of the wardrobe in his underpants. Oh my God. Oh no, it's my husband. It's fine. It's fine. Fine.
Yeah. Oh my God. Did you wake up like that? we both had a tough night.
Yes. Well, interestingly, your tough night.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind the conditions in which Port Rex is in.
Yes, he's ill. He's an ill toddler.
This is about slurry, this email.
There was a lot of that last night.
Oh,
both ends.
Was he multitasking? Oh, he was.
Multitasking. And also, Lucy, happened because he was sleeping in our bed because he was so distressed. And I hadn't put the mattress topper on the mattress because I'd washed it.
Oh.
And so the sink went right and soaked down. Okay. And I was so gutted because it's such a nice mattress and now it stinks. And I didn't know what to do and I panicked. So I got Napisan, you know that?
Yes, yes.
And then I made a bowl of that and then I just basically like threw it on the mattress. And I don't think the mattress will ever dry.
Oh.
And I think I've bleached. Anyway, if anyone has any tips on how to get sick and shit off
biological
mattress,
washing powder.
But I can't put my mattress in the washing machine.
No. You just make up a solution. Get a biological laundry capsule and do it in cold water, I think. Dissolve it in hot water, then let it go cold and then do it, because that's what vets use.
Is it like when they've got a cow mattress and they're trying
yes.
to clean one of those?
Yes.
So they get Alistair around with,
With his squeegee.
With his Persil.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give that a rub, Alistair. Yeah.
All right, Stella.
Faster, Alistair, faster.
I like your name for her dog. That was a quick transitioning. She's got the dog now, hasn't she?
Yeah. She saw it once. It barked once.
Nothing.
Alistair's
a bit of an irresponsible, but don't you have to have a CRB check or something?
Honestly, the irresponsibility in Ambridge is unbelievable. It's like one of those districts where the council's just gone bankrupt and gone completely rogue and just gone, right, fine, everyone do what the fuck they want. We don't care anymore. So, you know, we've got food vans opening with none of the correct licensing or anything else. Just, yes, I've just converted a caravan.
What a lame launch. To launch at your local fete.
Yeah.
Why not, guys, come on. Why not go to a Felpersham's Jubilee street party and launch there?
Yeah.
There's more people, guys. Yeah. You're going to sell a bit more.
Even Hugh Whitless Ferningstall doesn't go to a flipping village fete. Mind you, actually, he has his own flipping fates now, doesn't he?
Well, expect so.
Expect so, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why I've never been to one, but he'd be a good special guest. I'm surprised he hasn't been on.
Do you know what I'm doing for my birthday?
I thought you were doing karaoke.
Yes, I am doing karaoke, Do you know what I'm doing as a special treat for my birthday?
Are you going out with Hugh Fearnley Whitting still?
No, he's busy. I did ask. He did say hello to me once on Fitzroy Square. I think he thought he knew me, which was a bit startling. But anyway.
Lucy. I think he's the kind of guy that if you said hello to, he'd say hello. But a bit like Monty Don. If you said hello, I expect they'd be really friendly back to you.
Yes. Well, I didn't say hello to him. He just said hello to me. And I went, ah! And jumped, which was a bit, must have made him think, right, well, I will make sure not to say hello to her again then. But guess what I am doing? I am going to Kate Humble's farm and I am going to learn about pigs. Are you jealous? No.
No? What? No. Are you Neil? What's going on?
Yes.
You're going into the Archers?
Yes.
To run Barrow?
Yes. No. Wow. If I was running Barrow, I would knock all the horrible barns down and I'd just raise everything to the ground and make a lovely field and let them all run around.
I'd just make a big swimming pool.
Drown them all.
So they're all paddling up. Lucy? Oh, God, what? Lucy?
I forgot that you wouldn't think this was good.
But hang on, you're going to go and learn about pigs, but now you've just said you're going to drown all the pigs.
No. You said that you would build a swimming pool and I said would drown all the pigs.
I'd put the pigs into pasture or whatever you do with them and then I'd build a swimming pool for me. If I had Barry. But hang on, sorry. What? So are you going to get some pigs?
Ideally, yes.
Wow. Yes. That's exciting.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be like, you'll be sort of like the agricultural expert then on our podcast.
I'll be what's dismissively called a hobby farmer.
So you're basically going to be Jeremy Clarkson.
Yes! Except not as right-wing and annoying. Yeah.
You are definitely going to do some rewilding, aren't you?
What, you mean not weed? I won't have bloody time to be weeding, so I'm going to be
No, you'll definitely do the wilding. But will you meet Kate Humble then?
I don't know. I don't think so. It's just courses that are run from her place.
Oh, that's exciting. Where is her place?
In Montgomeryshire.
What? Where's that? Is that in
Wales?
In Borsetshire?
No, it's on the edge of North Wales.
Oh, right. How lovely, Lucy.
Yes, I know. I can't wait.
Can I come and see you for a day?
No. When I'm doing the pig thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, because you won't like it. You'll turn up in sort of leopard skin ankle boots or something.
I will not. I grew up in pig country.
I know, but you are trying to pretend that you didn't and that you grew up in Covent Garden. I know you.
I only sound like where I grew up from if I'm in a taxi. It's the only time people go, oh, are you from the West Country? Yes, I am, actually. I am terribly much.
Yes, I am.
I terribly much am, yes. But I only talk like this with taxi drivers.
Do you call them mate? And
no, I don't ever. I just say, hello, hi. Can you give me a good rating? I'll give you a good rating if you give me one.
Can you open the window a bit? I think it's I'm going like, to be sick.
My mum's family and my mum are all from Yorkshire. And she used to go, hello. And if she met anyone from Yorkshire, hello, I'm from Yorkshire.
It's too marvellous. Yes.
How do you do? I'm from Yorkshire. I remember her meeting my friend from Durham once. Oh, how do you do? I'm from the north.
But you wouldn't know, would you? I hide it terrifically well.
Anyway,
slurry.
So, yeah, well done, slurry. Yes. Sorry.
Isabel says, I am positive the farming consultant must have had a couple of weeks off during this story. I will preface this with the fact I used to live in Birmingham, where school trips involved going to Ash End Farm and telling us what a cow was, so my farming knowledge is minimal. However, I now live in Shropshire, and without fail every year, there is shit on the roads and slurry on the fields. It's just a big part of life, living next to many farming communities. I fail to understand why this is an issue for residents of Ambridge, especially Jimmis, who has lived in the countryside for many years. Also, I thought you'd like to know that in Bridgnorth, my boyfriend knew someone who was a farmer who used human's shit as fertiliser. Apparently you can use it for wheat, but not root crops. It took the town council getting involved to get him to stop, so it could always be worse. May your tenors be absorbent and your wine always chilled. Love to all of you, Izzy.
I'll have that on my gravestone, thanks. Yeah. Oh my God, human shit on the fields. Yeah. That's going to stink to high heaven.
It's bad enough when they do pig shit. Whoa.
Oh yeah,
pig shit's like a horrible smell.
Visiting my father-in-law in Suffolk, and there'd be like flies everywhere because there was shit all over the fields.
Yeah,
and just the fly. It was like Day of the Triffids, but with flies. It was yucky. But I did grow up in the country, actually. I did.
Yes, was it Yorkshire?
It was Hampshire.
Hampshire.
Terribly country down there. Terribly. Poor thing. That's horrible. Yeah,
it is horrible.
I don't think that should be allowed. But is it cheaper? Probably is cheaper, isn't it?
Where do you collect it
from? And who sells it?
Well, they
who sells
do.
The human
the,
shit?
The drainage, the waste.
The sewage.
Yeah, the sewage. God. I mean, they separate Bloody it all hell. Off, don't they? And they do
so
things.
So you're living
to it,
but... next to an open sewer, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what she means. Yeah. Why haven't they had a slurry issue before?
Yeah. Well, they did. They always used to talk about the new people that moved into Gleeblands would complain that there was mud on the roads, straw on the roads.
Right.
And that was always the signifier of someone who was a townie who'd moved in and, you know, gone, oh, now they're moaning about the straw on the roads. But it just, you know, if you want fields and you, how do they think it happens? You know, oh, God. People moving into rural areas and then whinging about.
With a watering can, Lucy. And put some of that, seaweed stuff.
Yes.
One cap for every washing can. Does the job.
Couple of bottles a field. Should be fine.
Or just make your own compost. Come on, guys. Throw a few tomatoes in there, a couple of twigs, squanch it all about. Done.
I think... The trope about people moving in and complaining about cockerels and cows on the road and people, you know.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness.
If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Cows mooing too early in the milking parlours and stuff like that. And you just think, you can't believe people are that thick, but they really are. And they do moan about this.
But I think probably if you move there and you haven't been there in fertilising season, and also the stink, it is quite a horrible smell. It must take quite a while to get used to.
Well, no one goes, when they're spreading pig shit on the fields. But, you know, it doesn't last forever and then it goes. And if the wind's in the right direction, you don't smell it at all.
So. Sounds delightful. Mm. I must move to the country again.
Can't wait.
I'd rather live here with the pollution. Thanks.
Yes.
okay.
Right. The Rev Julie says, I was jumping up and down listening to this week's episode when Lucy was talking about her vocal warm-up exercise. It comes from The Mikado by Gilbert and Sullivan.
Oh.
I am a G&S aficionado, having sung in just about all the operas in my time. It comes from a brilliant trio sung by Pooh Bah, Coco and Pish Tush. They sing their verses alone and then in counterpoints against each other. It's not really a true patter song like I Am the Very Model of a Modern Major General from Pirates of Penzance, but the tongue-twisting nature is very similar. The vocal exercise words comes at the end when all three sing together. To sit in solemn silence in a dull, dark dock, in a pestilential prison with a lifelong lock, awaiting the sensation of a short, sharp shot from a cheap and chippy chipper on a... Cheap and chippy... And you'd mess it up. From a cheap and chippy chopper on a big black block. Thirdly, having had a...
You don't want to get that muddled up, do
you? Nope. Thirdly, having had a glimpse of Harriet in stage school tiger mother mode, I am now rather scared of her. Fourthly, Matt Rodriguez Payne is a stone-cold genius.
Yep.
She says, so thrilled at the prospect of a Mr. Newbie Beverly Drains update. Yep, it's on its way, Julie. Hold your fire. It'll be on in about 10 minutes.
Explosive.
She is explosive. Okay. Right, we have a contentious view here.
Is that a peacock in your background?
No, it's
there
small
was something
child
that was
screaming.
Going.
It's a small child. Its mother locks it out regularly. When its time out is to sit in the garden.
It's basically like Xander.
Yes.
Yeah.
It sits in the garden on time out, and then it looms up at the kitchen windows, going "Mommy!" until she lets it back in. Anyway, Liz Danziger and Beth. No, because that is Liz. Liz Danziger and Olivia say,
"Yeah."
Over the years, the term entitlement has been aimed at sundry archers, pargeters, and aldridges. Yet last night, we could have sworn that it was Chris Carter who was defending his entitlement. For fuck's sake, Alistair's contribution to the success of Home Farm and associated businesses has been negligible. Chris has been sod all. We are Team Brian against the parasite.
Ooh.
Big hugs, Beth and Olivia.
Wow, that is so controversial.
It is.
I completely disagree because I don't think Chris would have been like this.
No.
If he'd been treated with some respect. I agree with him. They just don't.
Yeah.
And Brian is so stupid for going down that, oh, you were never good enough, really.
Yeah.
Chris
yes.
is not thick. He's going to go for everything he can because Alice has set him up to do this now.
And he's an entrepreneur. It's not like he's just sat there, you know, with his feet up. He's started his own business and he's doing really well. And also you can be paid in cash.
Oh my God, so annoying. Yeah.
You can be paid in cash and still
you can.
Declare it, obviously.
Well, Brian's going to be humiliated, I hope. But, I mean, I just think Alice should be having a word with herself because she did, and Brian, and all of them who didn't push her to stay with the mediators.
Yeah.
Because this is not, because basically, don't forget, you've still got Martha at the heart of this, and this is, and I hate it when people are not referencing that you know, Chris, I mean, Chris as well, he's, I'm doing it for Martha, but it's like, well, come on, guys, look, I want to do some mediation with you guys. You got to put Martha in the middle here and think about her future. Let's stop being so selfish.
And
maybe they should get Kate to come and mediate.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
Also, as if Kate's business is worth anything.
I know.
It's just surely worth the cost of 3 teepees, isn't it?
Yeah, and the whole thing's propped up by Borchester land anyway, isn't it? I mean,
exactly.
whatever it is.
And Jakob has stopped being Jakob. I didn't like that he wasn't, he was too emotionally involved.
Yes.
I thought.
He'd have just said, shut up, Kate. It's fine. Yeah, it's not your business. Keep out of it.
Exactly. They've forgotten who he is.
Yes.
Which is annoying.
And he used a phrase as well. Triggered her. It's triggered her. And I thought, Jakob wouldn't say that.
No. He would keep his nose out, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was much better. Yeah, because actually I really liked it when him and Chris were sort of...
And it's so typical of Brian that Brian's going, could you have a dig around, please? Yeah. Could you do that? And you think, no, Brian, just for once in your life, just do it the straight, honest, honourable way, not by yanking on people you know, you git.
Git. Yeah. But anyway, that's very interesting that Liz has gone Brian.
Yes. Yeah, no, I really can't. And I do think that Brian is going to have a bloody heart attack.
Yeah, well, I think that's where it's heading.
Is that what we foreshadowing?
That's definitely where it's heading. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, he didn't sound.
Because everything, that'll be the climax, and then things will calm down.
Yes.
Because he hasn't had a heart attack yet, has he?
No, he's had everything else. He's got epilepsy.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He had to stop driving.
Yes. For 2 years. I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing there. And he'll have a heart attack. As long as they don't kill him off, we're good to go on that.
Yeah. Oh no! Don't kill him off.
No, they can't. They can't. He'll be there forever, won't he? Basically, runs the show, doesn't he? He sort of. He is the royalty.
This is Joanne who says, I wonder if Brian's going to have a heart attack from the stress of Alice's divorce proceedings and how her assets are being dealt with. That might be the thing that tips her over the edge and makes her start drinking again. Oh, no! Oh,
no.
God, Joanne, I hadn't thought of that. He sounded in rough shape after their meeting this week. I don't think that she'll go back.
No, I don't think she will. And I think he definitely will have a heart attack, and that will just... And then Chris and Alice will just probably get back together, to be honest.
Now that Alice knows he was trying to get the family to buy out her share, she might just go behind Brian's back and agree to a settlement that is generous to Chris, just to get it over with. Yeah. And that would really drive Brian crazy. I do love Brian as a character, but I totally think he was trying to scam the forensic accountant by undervaluing as much as he possibly could. I agree. I think that's just his default position. It's a reflex. He can't not. We obviously don't tell them the whole truth, you know.
Except, as we said, then the forensic accountant just hasn't done his job.
Yeah.
Literally his only job, he hasn't done it.
The vague accountant. I think Freddie did a good job dealing with Chelsea once he'd had time to figure out what he'd done wrong the first time round. And holy cow, didn't Will let Maya walk all over him at the orangery? Yes, it's been so long since my teens that I can't think how my dad would have reacted. But if I'd behaved like that in front of my mum, she'd have said, right, you're being obnoxious, we're leaving right now. And we'd never even have ordered. Absolutely, yes.
And also, I couldn't really... I forgot how old they were, because I was thinking, oh, they're acting so immature.
Yeah.
But actually, they're playing 16-year-olds, aren't they? Because they're doing their GCSEs. But actually, is Chelsea older? I think Chelsea might be a bit older.
Yeah.
But so, I don't know. But I think even for a 16-year-old is not going to be that immature, are they?
No.
It was a bit playgroundy, wasn't it?
It was quite sweet, you know, actually, talking of... teenagers and thinking that they're more grown up than they actually are. My daughter, who is now 19 and thinks she's incredibly sophisticated and grown up and everything else, she said she had to remake an appointment at the optician. And I said, so have you, because she needed contact lenses and stuff. And I said, so have you done that then? And she went, they're engaged. It's engaged all the time. And I said, is it all the time? I said, are you sure? Because it's an optician in Pocklington. I mean, it's really surprised. She said, no, they're very, very busy. And then it kept going. And still didn't happen. And then in the end, she went, please, can you ring them for me? And I went, why? And she said, I don't know what to say.
I'm still with her. That is exactly what I do. I do it with Rufus. I hate phoning things. I think it's like, I think now as well, like for younger people as well, phoning is quite a difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
And you don't know, and if you don't know what to say, it frightens you, doesn't it? You don't want to do it. You just want someone else to do it for you.
I'm going to get it wrong somehow.
To have that conversation is to have to sort of, not that you're going into conflict with someone, but it's like you're going to have to do something that you know they're not really going to like because you're postponing it or whatever. I honestly, I'm still really babyish about things like that. I hate, if it's like the dentist or anything, I'll always email. I hate picking up the phone and speaking to someone.
That's so weird.
It is, isn't it? Such a babyish thing to do. But I'm totally with your daughter. Totally. I didn't say her name because I didn't know if you'd like to use her name.
Tilly, yes.
Yeah,
it's fine.
I know, but I didn't know if we'd
Yes.
I didn't know if you'd ever come out that you had a daughter.
Considering my Twitter feed is mostly fueled by the lunatic
actually.
Things she
it
says.
Is, yeah, but you never say Tilly.
No.
You always just say my daughter.
Yes.
Fair enough. Okay, so good luck, Tilly. Anyway, surely in Pocklington they'll be so lovely at the opticians,
yes.
won't they?
Yes. Yes.
But yes, with her. Yeah, so maybe they would be that immature. Maybe they're Chelsea and Mia. But it is. But yeah, they both needed a good old slap after that, didn't they?
Yes, they really did. They really did. They were obnoxious little sods. Yes, and
not,
also
not that I condone violence, Lucy.
Will is
on children
is notoriously. Obsessed with sort of status and behaving right in front of the quality. So there's no way he'd have let her behave like that in Lower Loxley Orangery either.
Was it Lower Loxley? It wasn't the Orangery that had a baguette for afternoon tea,
yes.
was it?
Yes.
What?
I know.
Oh, yeah, because...
He said, and then he went, or hot dinner? And I thought, a hot meal? And I thought, it's afternoon tea. That's what you're going for. That's what you've booked, you plonker.
Yeah. In the Orangery.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd have a baguette in the Orangery.
No.
Anyway.
I've never had a baguette in the Orangery anyway. Mike Chambers has emailed us and said, I'm not a lawyer myself, but I've worked enough with them to be able to offer an opinion on the home farm assets.
Oh, yes.
And I've also listened to enough archers to realise the futility of guessing, he says. But as folks are pointing out, the courts may void the transfer of assets if it's determined that they were not complete before an actual or impending liability. I don't understand that. That said, the detail we're, of course, missing is the specific language of the home farm partnership agreement. From what Brian has said, it sounds like each farm asset is specifically part-owned by everyone in the partnership. So that means that Chris would be able to lay claim to a part of each asset individually and therefore make the separation hugely messy with each asset the subject of valuation arguments. This all sounds bonkers and gets harder to visualise. So things like the non-physical assets, like the home farm contract with Borsetshire Land. However, because we don't know, the residents of Ambridge, the writers can do almost whatever they like and probably will. If Alice is brought out of the agreement, then it's possible in divorce proceedings this is seen as fine, as long as Chris still gets their share as a portion of the sale value. My prediction is that Rory will get involved here because he's no longer proxied by Ruth, is he? Because he's over 18 now. And either his escapades will be outed through a let's use your crypto money conversation. Ooh. Or Rory's sugar mummy will actually come to the financial rescue.
Oh, wow. Oh, that is interesting.
He says deliciously Rory's sugar mummy will come to them.
Ooh, yeah.
Thank you and keep up the podcast. It is my escape of frantically cooking dinners at the end of usually very long days. Aww. Sorry,
yeah,
Mike.
We just make him nice and sleepy, ready for bed.
Yes, absolutely. He's probably nodded off before he even gets
to
eat it.
I have to say, all that legal talk has given me a bit of a headache, Lucy. It's too complicated, isn't
yes.
it? That's the trouble with it all.
But that's why they don't make it. That's why they just make it like, just trust us. Anyway, look over there. Anyway, it's fine.
But that's a great prediction about Rory getting involved. Although Rory, in his current state, would just say, give it to Chris.
Yeah.
And rinse Alice for all she's worth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, good legal. Good that we have a bit of like technical.
Yes. Someone good. Who knows it's, what they're talking
about. Oh, it's so refreshing, isn't it, Lucy? When we can just shut up and listen to someone who actually knows what they're talking about.
Yes.
It right in.
And we sit there going, without knowing what he's on about.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, that sounds
thank
right.
you so much. That's brilliant. Okay, guys, did you get that? Good.
Was someone taking notes? Yes. He wasn't listening.
It's good. It means there's a bit of intellect in our show.
Yes.
Which is what it definitely
God help has. Us. Yes. Right. And Matt Rodriguez Payne, I'm not doing the music yet, but he has two questions. Oh. Where will Lily and Freddie each get £1 million from when one of them loses the bet?
Lucy.
They've only got 2 years to save up. What a load of absolute.
Are you 10? Yes, you are.
Yeah.
What was that?
I know.
Oh,
dog poo that was.
Yeah.
Also, why is Whispering Aldi intent on creating a Gay Grables website with photos when it is currently a building site with all fixtures and frou-frou removed from it?
Because it's to tempt us in. When they see that picture of Roy all staked up with an apple in his mouth, they'll know what they're getting in the future.
Ooh, that's made me feel a bit queasy.
Why would you get Roy?
I know.
Wouldn't you get someone a bit prettier to
Yes.
be on the website?
Yeah, yeah.
And why shouldn't Ardil be in the way? Why couldn't it be a picture of the manager? Or
personally,
the boss,
I would take photos of Lower Loxley and just fraudulently put them on and say, there we go, that's it. Yep, that's Ardil. That's Elizabeth in the front, dressed as Ardil. Yep, lovely.
And here's an Easter bunny.
Yeah. Laurie Jones, to time-travelling Laurie Jones.
Laurie, welcome back.
Says she is Schrodinger's cat. She said, okay. Harriet thinks I'm an American girl. Lucy thinks I'm a crazy old bloke from Surrey. And Febreze thinks I'm a truck. I feel like Schrodinger's cat, being a girl, a bloke and a truck all at the same time. Let's not open that box and find out. I'd rather not know. My timeline is close to converging with yours, and I have but one observation. I'm glad I didn't take Harriet's and my own advice and get on with my life instead of listening to every minute of the previous 4 months. I would have missed Roy and Kate the goldfish. And more importantly,
yes.
I would have missed that magnificent funeral dirge for Roy the fish. That alone was worth slogging through the mysteries, Valentine's Day, Hazel Woolley, etc. Well done to the theme guy. That's Matt. Or girl. Or truck. Love
the
from Laurie.
The theme guy. Let's call him the theme guy.
Theme guy!
Hey, Lucy, what's the theme guy got for us this week? Laurie, I totally agree. I think this year has been worth it for the fish and the kitchen.
Yeah, kitchen. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And now let's go over to Ambridge itself to catch up with Mr. Newbie and the latest on his relationship with his paramour, Beverly Drains. That either says paramour or paratrooper. I can't read it.
Lucy.
What?
We forgot to do.
Oh, the bloody gap again.
Some very kind people at the Cider Shed, who is an alternative Archers podcast, Lucy, for anyone who didn't know. They were very kind and they gave us some advice on what to do about the adverts.
Yes, and resisted the urge to add you der brains at the end of it, which was kind.
Because they've got the ads like lined up to a T. They know exactly what they're doing. But
ours is more mind the gap, isn't it, really?
We had a discussion about it this week.
Yeah.
And then we completely forgot to do it. So God knows if the ad's already... If the ad's been in, I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. What was it? Let us know. Ring in. Whatever.
And maybe next week we could take Kerry's advice.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, we'll find that gap. And there's a thing called a pin.
Is there?
Isn't there? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I told you about the pin.
Oh, yes.
We have
yes.
to unlock the pin. You basically... It's quite complicated.
Oh,
you have to
God.
Find... You have to do a gap of, like... 3 seconds or something, but then there's a pin that you have to find.
Oh, I think I've seen that.
Oh, right. Okay, so that's the pin.
Do you think we could ask Mr. Newbie to do it? He likes things like that, doesn't he?
Ask his friend Beverly. She'll know all about.
Oh, yeah, she will.
Gaps. Big gaps.
Big
gappy stuff. Slotting stuff in. She's an expert in all that. Okay. But anyway, thank you to the Cider Shed.
Yes.
Lucy.
Yes.
Other Archers podcasts are available,
yes.
but we want to thank our friends for
yes.
helping us.
Thank you
that.
Very much. And also,
and
for
can
not...
I just also, sorry, I must not forget to do a big thank you to our reviewers, because you know, after our little
yes.
little lapse in the reviews, some lovely, lovely people got us back up.
Oh, back up.
Yeah.
Thank
so
you.
So now when you look at our reviews, you don't just read about the shit audio quality. we've had some really lovely reviews, so thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you very much. That's very kind, isn't it?
Really kind. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
And also, people have started sending us stuff, but more of that later.
Ooh.
Well, more of that next week. Yes. Now we must do thank you. Now we must leave a gap for Mr. Newbie.
Another gap? Oh, have we not done Mr. Newbie?
No, because we talked all through the gap for Mr. Newbie, so now we have to be quiet.
Okay.
Be quiet.
Hello, Mr. Newbie here. I've settled into Ambridge and I thought I'd update you with how I've been doing. For those of you kind enough to inquire, I'm still getting on like a house on fire with Beverly Drains. And I mean that metaphor sincerely. As a relationship, it's terrifying, there's a lot of insurance claims, and at the end, we both have to be hosed down. Truly, I have found my soulmate and the delicate and fragile light of my life. Isn't that right, Beverly?
Yes, darling.
I've tried my best to immerse myself in village life. I joined the cricket team, but was kicked out again for being capable of hitting a cow's ass with a banjo. I offered to help Kirsty with the rewilding, but had only strimmed half of it before she became irate. I decided to help to clear the Gay Grables grounds instead, and had dug up an old tree in the grounds that looked a bit past its best when an elderly gentleman rushed up to me, arms flailing, shouting about somebody called Caroline. In the end, I escorted the elderly gentleman back to what he said was his home, a large house with an enormous limo outside being used as a turkey shed. Despite there being no estate agents in the village, people move house with astonishing ease and rapidity. A young couple, Mr. and Mrs. Sausage, with their impending twins, have moved house four times in the last year to my certain knowledge, totally without the aid of a landlord, letting agent or removal service. Admittedly, two of the moves were in and out of a sort of treehouse with a rope ladder above the shop, which would have been very tricky with a double buggy. There have been a series of miracles also. A mute woman regained her speech, which didn't seem to surprise anyone but me, but that might just have been because I was standing behind her in the shop when it happened, and she was dressed as an enormous rabbit with a hooter. The local policeman has been reincarnated as the second coming of our Lord, which again caused a little puzzlement to his wife, but everyone else took it in their stride. And a canal, a boat dock, and a forest have all recently spontaneously appeared. Ambridge must be a nightmare for Google Maps. Beverly and I are content in our quiet life here in Ambridge. She wasn't intending to cohabit so soon with me, but she popped to the shop and when she came back someone else had moved into her house, so she was forced to live with me. Isn't that right, darling?
Yes, darling.
We don't socialise much. We went to the Bull on Valentine's night, but the villagers seemed intent on asking a great many prurient questions about our hobbies and any surprising skills we might have, and after Beverly demonstrated one of hers, we decided to leave. Not many people can get an aubergine that far, so I was a little disappointed they weren't more impressed, but I am proud of my little woman, aren't I, darling?
Yes, darling.
So, that's that. It's a quiet life, but we're very content. We keep busy with the garden, watching the birds that Kirsty's encouraged to the village on the feeder. Which reminds me, we must get another side of buffalo, darling, as the Andean condors had the lot yesterday. We couldn't be happier, could we, sweetheart?
Help me.
Everything all right, darling?
Yes, darling.
Thank you, Mr. Newby.
I bet the ad
goes right there.
Right in the middle of
damn it. If you visit patreon.com and look up Ambridge on the Couch, you can support us at any subscription level. And we are truly, truly, madly, deeply grateful. We really are.
And we're in love with you all.
Yes.
Thank you.
All of you. We want to snog you with tongues.
You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter at... Oh, this is so shit, isn't it? At on Ambridge. On Twitter. I think I'm just going to say, you can find us on Twitter at on Ambridge.
Yes. Why not?
Febreze is at Fabulous Febreze, or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
Oh, and if you want to catch up with what's been going on with Beverly Drains, then Mr. Newby is at Newby Couch.
Oh, yes.
Now.
It's the theme guy.
The theme guy. The theme guy this week made me very happy because... it's a cracker, A. B, there was a lot of damn it Marjorie negotiations going on in the House of Aldridge this week. And this was something that I was not allowed to listen to when I was not allowed to watch this when I was growing up. But once my dad went on a... where did he go? He went on a... Sorry, I'm filling because I've lost the... thing. He went on a business trip to the Holiday Inn in Bristol, and we had a babysitter, which was very, very, very rare for our family to have a babysitter. And she was very nice, and she let us listen to this which we were absolutely not allowed to do normally. So it was hugely exciting and transgressive and everything else. So since then, I've had an enormous fondness for it. So, Harriet, you need to now talk because I am trying to find
the thing. And then I'm going to listen and then I'm going to run.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Okay. But Lucy's just finding the theme guy's theme. I'm trying to guess.
Shall I give you some clues? People wore T-shirts about it.
Neighbours?
No, before Neighbours.
I don't really have a timeline before Neighbours.
Does the name South Fork mean anything to you?
South Park?
South Fork.
Well, no.
Oh, you might not know it.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
I think I need to get a theme guy who's like my generation.
No, because then no one else will know what he's doing.
I just snorted.
I know. I'm keeping that in. Definitely.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I just snorted.
Harriet, just snorted.
I revealed my true self. I've revealed that I'm from Hampshire. And and I did the most
pig snort.
I actually snorted. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
Oh. Right.
Okay, you ready?
Yep. Not the 18.
Oh, this one. Dallas.
Yes. Ryan is JR.
I was but a baby.
Brilliant.
So dramatic. That was excellent.
You can go now.
Excellent.
Go and mop up some sick.
I'll go and mop up some sick and take some kids to gymnastics.
Okay.
And I promise I won't be competitive mum with them.
Okay.
Come on, guys.
Higher, faster.
A bit wider and you'll be doing the splits. Come on, guys. I want to see you pulling your leggings. Yeah.
Oh, God.
No, never like that. I don't care if they're good at gymnastics or not. I just want them to win the art competition.
Yes. Well, that's fair enough.
Anyway, thanks for having me, Lucy. Thanks so much to the theme guy. That was awesome.
Bye.
See you next week. Bye.
I can carry on chatting now. She's gone. The reason that I loved this, especially the Dallas thing from the theme guy, was me and Mr. Newby were listening to it, and we were both amazed that he managed to do the little bits that we both loved. So we were singing away like idiots. It was hilarious. So I'm going to play it again now, and bye-bye. We love you all. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.